evening. Welcome to Employment Law Today. I'm your host, Eric Sauver. I'm an employment law and business law attorney and host of this weekly live radio show. And each week on my show, I have different guests who discuss the various issues that small and medium-sized businesses and entrepreneurs are facing during these challenging times, issues involving employment, business matters, and related topics that employers and employees alike can identify with. And my guest tonight for our show, Bouncing Back from Setback, is Mr. Sam Leibowitz. Sam, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Eric. Thank you for having me back on your show again.
Yes, great to have you as an encore presence here. I don't think I need to tell you about Talk Radio NYC because you are the executive producer and basically run the station. So
yeah, I know just a little bit about it.
Right, just a tad, yes. Okay. That's great to go into the show with that, that knowledge. So our guest tonight, as I mentioned, is Bouncing Back from Setback. It's about resiliency, recovery, and reinvention. These are terms that readily come to mind for many business owners in light of the COVID-19 pandemic. And the ability to learn from mistakes, to rebound successfully after an unexpected comeback, and to persevere through hardship has long been necessary for any successful entrepreneur or business owner. On tonight's show, my guest Sam Leibowitz of Talk Radio NYC and I will discuss the lessons that Sam learned personally over the last 25 plus years as an entrepreneur, a startup, and a business owner. And we're going to discuss how to cultivate an attitude of resiliency, perseverance, and gratitude in the face of hardship, something that we can all, I believe, identify with in these challenging times. And with that, I'd like to introduce Sam a little more thoroughly, properly, if I may. As I mentioned, my guest this evening is Sam Leibowitz, also known as the Conscious Consultant. Sam is a mentor. He's also a coach, a speaker, healer, a serial entrepreneur, and author of the number one best-selling book, Everyday Awakening. Sam has been in business since 1993 and has owned several successful businesses. His current ventures include the Conscious Consultant, a coaching and mentoring service which promotes sensible, ethical, moral, and conscious ways to build careers and businesses. And Talking Alternative Broadcasting, aka Talk Radio NYC, is an internet radio station which reaches over 120 countries and 300,000 listeners worldwide, as well as Double Diamond Wellness, a healing center in the heart of Manhattan. In these various roles, Sam has inspired hundreds of people to live a life that is happier, healthier, and more fulfilled. Sam has lectured in several venues in New York City, including being a featured speaker at TED Talks on the Upper West Side in 2016. So I do believe, Sam, you're quite qualified to discuss our topic of bouncing back from setbacks. Yeah.
Yeah, I've had more than my fair share of setbacks over my career as an entrepreneur. And it's really true. In some ways, you learn a lot more from your setbacks than you do from your successes.
Mm, yep. I believe that. I really do. I think there's ways that mistakes can teach us if we're teachable, if we're open to learning the lesson and looking at our mistakes, examining them. Yeah, you know, I think it kind of gets me to a first question I have for you, which is if you could tell us a bit more about your professional path prior to becoming the Conscious Consultant and prior to running Talk Radio NYC.
Certainly, absolutely. I've had many different businesses beforehand, and I actually started off in the IT space. I used to, you know, before I went off on my own, I worked as a technical liaison, being sort of an interface between programmers and end users, did quality assurance, technical trainings, all kinds of stuff, even was a systems manager for a trade association. But I kind of like got that itch of like, you know, I'm working a lot harder than everyone else here, yet somehow my paycheck doesn't reflect that. So I struck off and became an IT consultant with a friend of mine who was already an IT consultant. And we did, you know, technical support, desktop support, database development applications. And then we partnered, we took the this company and we got into multimedia. We created these video screensavers back in the good old days of CD-ROMs, back when that was like the new big thing. Yeah. And And then from that, we did pretty well with the screensavers, came out with like two or three of them and then a fourth one. And then we decided to get into the video end of things. And these were all made with little clips from Japanese animation. And we licensed the rights from companies that had already licensed the rights for certain programs here in the United States. Mm-hmm. And so we started working on the video side of things. But coming from a technology background, IT background, you know, you're used to like you do a service, you submit your invoice, you get paid right away. Sure. It was not like that in the video industry. And again, these are the mm-hmm. days of Blockbusters and you know, these big video stores where they used to rent VHS tapes.
Yep.
And so we started licensing. So we had to pay a bunch of money to get the rights to take these Japanese animation films and TV shows, get them subtitled, dubbed, create packaging, duplicate the VHS tapes. You ship them out to the distributors and the retailers, and then you expect to get paid. Only for the really, really, really large accounts, because they were so influential and so big, they would not pay in 30 days. They would not pay in 60 days. They would not pay in 90 days. If you were lucky, they paid you somewhere around 120 to 180 days out. And then all of a sudden, when a bill was due, you'd get this box of returns of all these tapes that were damaged all along that you'd been shipping to them. Instead of getting a little bit at a time, they gave it all at once and they wrote it all off their bill. And we found ourselves in a cash flow crunch.
Yep. Sounds like it.
Mm-hmm. Right. We have to pay our vendors, but we're not getting paid from our distributors. So we ended up having to sell that business. And my partner was pretty good. He went and negotiated with this gentleman who was the owner of a local video distributor who would buy a lot of our videos. And it was very serendipitous. And this is like, to me, this is the way real business works. It's not something you can really plan for every eventuality. But he goes in to talk to this guy, and he used to have a motorcycle that he'd get around Manhattan with, because it's a lot easier than getting around with a car. Sure. And so he parks his bike, and he's having a hard time chaining it up, and he couldn't get his helmet chained to his bike, so he brought his helmet up with him. So here he is going to this business meeting, you know, like in a suit, but with his motorcycle helmet.
Right.
So he goes in and he sits down to the guy, and the guy sees him carrying his helmet. And he's like, "So what do you ride?" And he tells him, he goes, "Oh, well, I have the," and he looks on his desk, and this guy has a statue of a motorcycle. His phone is a motorcycle. He's got motorcycle pictures all over this world. This guy was a motorcycle fanatic.
Yeah.
So I think because of that, and because John, my partner at the time, rode a motorcycle, he kind of liked him, and he was able to negotiate a pretty good deal with him, where he basically took over our payables and our receivables. Myself, John, and Henry, who was John's brother-in-law who worked with us, we all got kind of management positions, and then we became a wholly owned subsidiary.
Yeah.
So what had turned into a really bad situation, we were very fortunate, turned it around into a good situation. But what was the lesson I learned from that? That cash flow is king.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of business owners and a lot of people think, oh, it's all about profit, profit, profit. Profit is a number on a piece of paper. It doesn't mean a thing if you don't have the money in the bank to pay your bills.
True. Yes.
And so to me, like, that was an early lesson that I learned to take to heart. And so I always pay attention now to cash flow, not just profit. Not saying you need to ignore profit,
sure,
but you need to pay attention. I'm sure, Eric, you have a similar thing even with your own business, right? You may not have as many expenses being a lawyer, but you know, I'm sure you know well, if your clients don't pay you, you have a hard time renting your office space and paying for the things you have to pay for, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, there's malpractice insurance, there's Westlaw and legal research engines, there's, you know, supplies. And I remember when I first started out, also having a little bit similar experience in terms of not realizing how long the turnaround time can be on certain invoices and bills. And then I learned to adjust my retainer agreements, adjust the payment schedules for clients. And But absolutely, Sam. I think, it's very important that to as you said, to have that cash flow going. And I think it's an interesting example you start with about how when we start out, we might not be aware of an issue until it becomes a problem. And then we realize, oh, this is something I need to keep an eye on.
Right, right. Now, I consider, I've been involved with a number of different businesses over the years, and I consider I had a successful exit out of all of them except for one, and we'll get to that one later.
Sure.
Because there's only one where I really lost a lot of money. Mm-hmm. I didn't necessarily make a ton of money. I mean, I made money. Mm-hmm. I didn't make a ton of money on these others, but I was always able to exit successfully without losing my shirt. Mm-hmm. As I said, except for one, which is the business I had before this, which we'll talk about later. Yeah. And so that was the beginning of my experience. Then we worked at this company that bought us for about a year. And after about 6 months, me and John realized this guy is crazy. This is nuts. We got to get out of here. Mm-hmm. And so we started saving up. We started doing consulting on the side, saving up money, because now we knew that, you know, we were going to need to have a decent amount of money in the bank before we get started. But then we also focused on a very particular niche within animation, and we got really smart and kept a really tight lid on costs. So then the second company that we did together called Media Blasters ended up being a very, very successful company. Mm-hmm. And it did very well. We built it up. At the time that I left, we had just hit over $1 million in sales that year. Which for a small company was, and that was after 3 years of being in business. So that was no small feat. And at the time I left, we had a number of employees, we had hired a CFO, things were doing pretty well, but, there was a bit of tension between me and John. You know, I was kind of in charge of production. John was in charge of negotiation and contracts, and we got someone to come in and help us with sales. We had someone to account and accounting. But even though I had invested a lot of money in the beginning and I was a partner, I always felt like I wasn't being treated as a partner. And so we ended up parting ways. And you know, the negotiation with John was a little bit difficult. I didn't quite get as much as I kind of felt I deserved from everything that I had put in, but I really, because of the way things went, didn't necessarily have a strong negotiation standpoint. But then I took the money I got from that, and then I started my next business, which was one in the aerospace industry. And then I came across a whole another different kind of set of problems.
Let's talk about those problems, Sam, after our first break with our sponsors. You're listening to Folks Talk Radio NYC. I'm Employment Law Today. I'm your host, Eric Sovert. My guest tonight, Sam Leibowitz, the Conscious Consultant. When we come back, we'll talk about those other business issues that Sam had experienced and some common obstacles that you might struggle with in accepting your mistakes and how you can get past those. So stick around. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Leibowitz, your Conscious Consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you interested in having a better relationship with yourself, others, and God? Greetings. I'm your host, Dr. George Andow, for the show, A Journey Through Into Awareness. On my show, we journey into the awareness that the mind of God is the true seat of our personal consciousness. We join together each Monday at 7 p.m., so tune in on Talk Radio NYC.
Did you know that nearly one in five adults in the U.S. battles mental illness? Hi, my name is Albert Dabba. I'm the host of the show Extra Inning. Extra Innings, I discuss the topics of wellness, mental health, and the experience of surviving multiple suicides within my family. Listen live every Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern to Extra Innings for discussions with sports figures, artists, mental health professionals, and many others. That's Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Welcome back to Employment Law Today. I'm your host, Eric Sauver, here tonight with my guest, Sam Leibowitz, the Conscious Consultant. And Sam, I just wanted to say, you know, about your earlier discussion, some of your earlier business ventures, two things came to mind for me. You know, one was the idea that, you know, you can talk about this sitting here today in 2021. And I imagine, at least from my own experience, maybe it doesn't seem as intensely stressful as it may have at the time, because you have perspective, hindsight, you know things worked out in the end.
Right.
And I think it's an important thing to note. Sometimes when in the thick of something, we can't see that. We tend to get more stressed out and worried and tunnel vision. And the second thing that came to mind was an expression that I've heard that I like, which is, if you've tried and failed, congratulations. Many people don't do either of those things, right? They don't try, and therefore they don't fail. So, you know, good to hear your early experience. And I do want to get back to those other experiences you mentioned, but I wanted to ask you something. When you look at your experiences as a whole, like, what were some obstacles that you struggled with in terms of accepting the past mistakes and examining them for ventures that didn't work out?
You know, I think in general, for me, the hardest part was just accepting that sometimes people are assholes. I'm sorry. It's like, you know, I'm from the Bronx, you know, I kind of say things plainly, and I'm kind of a no nonsense guy. What you see is what you get. Mm-hmm. When I say something, I mean it. I do my best to live up to my word. Yeah. But when you're in business, you're dealing with a lot of people with egos, with all kinds of stuff. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, like, people do crazy things that, like, just confused me and just, like, amazed me. And so it was when I find people not being reasonable, that was really the hardest thing for me, because I'm a reasonable person. Like, why wouldn't they be reasonable?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which kind of, in a way, kind of brings me to my next story about the aerospace company, because when I left the Media Blasters, I decided I really wanted to follow my, at the time, my life's passion. I always wanted to do something in the aerospace industry. Mm-hmm. Now, this is in the early Web 1.0 days, and websites were not that sophisticated. Mm-hmm. And I started with a friend of mine I knew from the National Space Society. His name was Greg. He actually, you look a little bit like him.
Good looking guy, then, handsome fella.
Well, after you tell the story, you may not take it as a compliment, but okay. Greg and I, in the beginning, you know, I knew him before from the National Space Society. We were both members of this is sort of a nonprofit volunteer organization that was sort of a rah-rah space exploration group. And we worked together well. We put on this conference together when he was president of the chapter. Mm-hmm. But the thing I didn't know is we worked together well as long as he was the person in charge. Mm-hmm. But when we started this company, I was the one providing the funding. I was the one like dedicating to it. He had technical background, but I was putting the money up. So kind of like I was more in the leadership role, even though we were partners. And in the beginning, it was okay. But eventually, we started to kind of clash heads. Mm-hmm. And until the point where he wanted me to, like, hire his ex-wife to do some editing work and stuff. And it was just like, what, are you kidding me? We're barely making any money. It doesn't make any sense. Again, taking the lesson I got from the prior one about cash flow and everything, I'm the one funding this. Mm-hmm. No freaking way. And and we got in a really big heated argument about it. Big mistake. I got too emotional on the phone. He slammed down the phone. I slammed down the phone. I went and I was like, forget it. He's out. Changed the passwords on everything. Told him, forget it. And I kept going on my own. Now we created sort of this database driven website, which today isn't a big deal. Back then it was a big deal. And we had all kinds of news from different space agencies. We had information from different companies. And then I eventually found another partner who helped me with getting the word out there, with meeting different companies and stuff. But what happened is Greg started going to some of the same conferences. The way I was really trying to build up the business was going to all these satellite conferences and aerospace conferences, typically put on by the AIAA, the American Institute of Astronautics and Aeronautics. It's a big engineering group. And he started bad-mouthing us, bad-talking us, saying he was going to come up and do something better and all this stuff. And so I felt it was like really damaging our reputation. And the aerospace is a very tight-knit old boys network. And I made a really bad decision. I hired a lawyer to stop him and to put in like a cease and desist letter with him. And I mean, I didn't. And then he, and then we kind of, I think we, I forget, how did we, did it start with his suit? I think we sued him to stop because he wouldn't stop. And then he got a lawyer and then he countersued us back. And so then over a period of about 4 years, maybe 5 years, you know, this whole legal court case back and forth, and it was very expensive. And, you know, I was making money, but while we were making money, I was really, I was barely, there wasn't much left over to pay me. It was mostly going into the expenses for the company, for the traveling, for doing stuff, and paying for the lawyers. And it ended up costing, I don't know, you know, over $10,000, maybe $12,000, $13,000, $14,000, $15,000, something like that.
Easily. Now,
if you're a big company, no big deal. Or if you're a good sized company, no big deal. But it was a small company. It was a solo. I was me and one other guy helping me out. It was a lot of money to me. And then what happens is we end up in court and my lawyer and the judge is like, this is ridiculous. You guys figure it out. And so we had to try and negotiate a settlement. And and my lawyer was like, look, we can keep fighting it and it's going to keep costing you a lot of money. You're not making a lot of money. I'd say just settle, you know, give him a little piece of the action since he helped you start it and, you know, just move on. And I very, very begrudgingly said, okay. And we came up with some percentage, 12.5% or something like that. And it just, it really hurt inside that after all the work I did to build up, all the money I put into this, to have to give this guy who was crazy, in my mind, 12.5% of the company. But it you know, it's kind of like you put your heart and soul and your money behind something and then you have to give a piece of it away. But anyway, you know, I just... You know, we, and interestingly enough, within I think 2 years, what happened was the shuttle Columbia blew up, which, like, at that point, we all knew like that was going to depress the aerospace industry because NASA was the biggest contractor, and that there wasn't going to be much business, there weren't going to be much startups, there wasn't going to be a need, people weren't going to pay for our kind of service. And so, after that, I just shut down the company.
Oh yes, if I may, just to jump in, I lose my train of thought here because I hear some really good stuff here that I wanted to explore with you. So I definitely hear like some of the obstacles, the struggles, and accepting, you know, this person's unreasonableness and the challenges that came with, you know, deciding to litigate and have being a litigator as well. I know how much it costs some of my clients to litigate commercial disputes. So I'm wondering, like, what would be, let's say, some of the, if you look at it, like, what was the obstacle, maybe what was the quote-unquote mistake that, like, from your side, that you had a hard time accepting, besides the mistakes that he made in the law, what would be, And how did you overcome that difficulty in accepting that mistake?
Well, the first thing is just the decision to hire a lawyer to go after him. Like, that was just, it never works out. And I don't know if there would have been a way for me to reach out to him to get him to stop or to find a way to come to an amiable settlement. Mm-hmm. I mean, what I ended up having to do, give him a piece of the company anyway, I could have just done on my own if I hadn't been so pigheaded. They say that if you've been in business more than 5 years, you have more than a 50 to 70% chance of having been involved in a lawsuit. Either someone sued you or you had to sue someone else.
Yep.
And to me, that's just insane. Like, that just so raises the cost of doing business. It makes everything more difficult. It strains relationships.
Yeah.
And so for me, it was also a lesson of, I allowed myself to get emotional with him when I really shouldn't have. Mm-hmm. You know, if I had just been a little more less reactive to him and more responsive and been a little more level-headed, and that had yelled and blown up at him and just locked him out of everything and just said, you know, Greg, we got to talk about this. This really doesn't work. We don't have the money. If you want to pay for her, you pay for it. You know, and there were other ways that things could have gone. But, you know, when you're in the heat of the moment, especially when you get emotional, you don't see all the possibilities. You don't see like there are other ways of doing things. You really need to give yourself time to calm down and take a breath and pull yourself out of the situation. And so this is one of my advice that I give clients often, if they ever consider, you know, taking legal action. It's like, that is the absolute last resort.
Yes.
And I think sometimes we idealize it and we don't look at it that way. Yes. And that there are always other options.
Yes. You know, I agree wholeheartedly, and I'm an attorney and a litigator as well. I practice, as you know, business law and employment law. There's a lot of litigation that goes on. And while I do represent my clients if they have an issue, whether they're defendants or plaintiffs, I do try to encourage that settlement beforehand and trying to negotiate, you know, within reason. And so it's funny you mentioned that statistic as well. I've heard that too, about the chances of being in a lawsuit up to 5 years. Of course, my business has a lot of litigation involved with it. So of course I'd be involved in a lawsuit as a litigator, but not as an actual party.
But, right. I was going to ask you, I was curious, like, I know you've been involved in a lot of stuff on behalf of your clients, but have you personally ever had to deal with any of that?
Thankfully not. You know, never been in a lawsuit, never been a plaintiff or defendant. So I like to think maybe that's part of what you said, that because I think I too had to learn with time, with experience and maturity about the responsive versus the reactive, and not to, you know, let the emotion get the best of you. And it's easy to say, right, to other people, because I've counseled clients on that. Hey, you know, like, take a breath and deposition. Don't get angry. Don't blow up. Don't say too much. You know, don't send a rash email that might damage your case. But it's hard when we're there. And so, you know, what I think I hear you say is that maybe the struggle there and the lesson learned was about not letting the emotion sort of run the show, right? Like, it can be there to guide you, but you know, you get level-headed and then you can make better choices.
Right. You know? I mean, look, our emotions flare up. And you know, when you own a business, it's your baby. You know, you put your blood, sweat, and tears into it. You sacrifice for it. And so, of course, you're going to get emotional about it. And it's okay to be emotional about it. But there's a difference between being emotional about your business and taking emotional action. You don't want to take emotional action. And so for me, the lesson was when you feel yourself getting emotional, when you feel the emotions welling up, that's the time to step back.
Right.
That's the time to, like, take a break, remove yourself, get yourself out of it, do something maybe completely different, go away for a weekend, take a break, take a day off.
Yeah,
and just chill. Don't even think about it. And then after you've given yourself that opportunity to just recenter yourself, then come back and take a look at it with fresh eyes. Right. And if that still seems like the right course of action, okay, but don't let your first emotional impulse be your only course of action.
Yes, 100%. I think there's a lot to be said for that. You know, that lesson and that advice. And I think that advice can come from, you know, your attorney, from your coach, from your conscious consultant, you know, if you will. And, you know, speaking of taking a break, you mentioned that we need to take our second break. So when we come back, I'm going to ask Sam a little bit more about some resources that he finds helpful in accepting and learning from mistakes, and also how he might assist his own clients these days to overcome their setbacks and crises. So stick around to Talk Radio NYC. We'll be back shortly. I'm Eric Sauver, host of Employment Law Today. My guest, Sam Leibowitz. We'll be back in a moment.
Do you feel uninformed about menopause and how it impacts on your life? Hi, I'm Pat Duckworth, women's health strategist and host of the Hot Women Rock radio show, empowering women leaders at menopause. Join me every Thursday at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. UK time on talkradio.nyc for interviews with inspirational women who will share their top tips to rock your world.
Hey everybody, it's Tommy D, the Nonprofit Sector Connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host a program, Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a business owner? Do you want to be a business owner? Do you work with business owners? Hi, I'm Stephen Fry, your small and medium-sized business or SMB guy, and I'm the host of the new show, Always Friday. While I love to have fun on my show, we take those Friday feelings of freedom and clarity to discuss popular topics on the minds of SMBs today. Please join me and my various special guests on Friday at 11 a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Do you run or are ready to open your own business? Hi, I'm Jeremiah Fox. I've been operating and opening small business for the last 25 years, and I'm the host of the new show, The Entrepreneurial Web. Tune in every Friday at noon Eastern Time for insights and stories on the nuances of running small business right here on Fridays at noon, talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Welcome back to Employment Law Today. I'm Eric Sauver, host of the show each week, and here tonight with my guest, Sam Leibowitz, a conscious consultant, and who basically runs the station Talk Radio NYC. You know, just to observe, Sam, to comment, to sort of identify, because a lot of what you're saying, I can relate to. I've seen clients go through it. I've learned lessons in business as well over the last 20 years and being in practice myself. And I have to say that I think there are some lessons that we sort of learned through experience, a trial by fire type of scenario, to use that metaphor. And I also think that, you know, if we can learn, like there are specific lessons we learn, and then there are lessons sort of in the broader sense. Like if we learn to be less rash and less emotional, we might avoid hot topics and overly complicated messes. And if we learn to keep an eye on the cash flow and look at our books and numbers with clarity, we might avoid some other financial crisis. So I like to think that learning from mistakes is like it's an experiential thing, and it's also a proactive type of thing of, hey, let's learn some lessons here. Let's, you know, look at our responses. So just, you know, an observation that came to mind.
You know? Yeah. There's an old expression, you can either learn by karma or learn by grace. So either you learn through your own mistakes, or if you're really wise, you learn from other people's mistakes and you avoid them without having to have your own experience with them.
The grace part. Interesting.
Yes.
I wonder, it makes me, you know, think about like talking about grace and use of resources. So what are some resources that you relied on or found helpful in over the years in accepting and learning from your mistakes in business?
Well, to me, like one of the most important resources that every business owner should have is you should have some kind of coach, mentor, confidant, guide to help you along the way. Somebody who's outside, who's not emotionally involved with what you're doing, who you can talk to about what's going on. Because it's so easy to get myopic and just see things in your own little world. And you're so involved, you get so caught up with it. And I've found for myself personally, whenever I've had coaches, whenever I had people outside of myself helping me, it always made such a big difference to me. And that one thing can lead to such to so many rewards. And it's helped me in many different businesses, you know, not just a couple, but even to this day, I still work with people. I have a coach. She's more of, I guess, a mentor at this point, a teacher, but it's still, no matter how much you learn, how much you've experienced, having someone else who can give you a different perspective, a different point of view, it's so invaluable.
Absolutely. I tend to agree. I think that's a good, really good thing to have, you know, to have resources that can see the big picture when we tend to get stuck in the little sort of the minutiae of the weeds, someone who can apply their own experience, who's not as caught up in the subjective fear or tension or conflict of the situation. No, I think that's really, really helpful. You know, it makes me wonder sort of, so I know you're the conscious consultant, as I introduced you as, and so you're in this coaching and you have the show as well. So can you walk us through some examples of like how you assist your clients in overcoming setbacks and crises?
So, you know, lots of times we tend to think that what we need to get through a setback or what do we need to move forward is another strategy. Mm-hmm. And strategies are great, but all the strategies in the world are not going to help us if we're off center, if there's something off within us. So the way I work with people, I work on a deeper level. I work on sort of how are they showing up? Where is their consciousness, their awareness, their energy around what's going on? And because I'm not emotionally attached to it, I kind of can see things differently. And many times it's about finding if there's some kind of problem, some kind of issue that's coming up. For most people, it's usually come up before in some form, maybe not exactly the same, but in some way it's come up for them. So I look for the breadcrumbs. I look for the repeating patterns, like what's really going on here that's below the surface. Yeah. And when we can identify like what that underlying pattern is, you know, first of all, just by identifying it releases the hold it has on us a little bit. But then once we know about it, then I work with my clients to come up with specific processes, specific homework, specific things to do around that so that they can liberate themselves from it. It's not that it's not going to stay a part of us. It's always there. But if we're more aware of it, then it's no longer driving the bus. Then we can make the choice whether to listen to it or not. And then we're operating from a more conscious level. And then we can make better decisions.
I think it makes a lot of sense. You know, I mean, because, if we're off center, like you're using the sort of driving the bus or, you know, the emotions running the show and analogy, if you get in a car and like tear out, you know, without getting sort of the GPS up or Waze or even just checking everything is in place. And then you just, you know, realize you're getting towards a dead end. You quickly, you know, throw it in reverse and speed up the direction. Like you can be taking all these actions and getting onto all these different paths. Like you're moving, but you're like too, maybe you need to slow down. Maybe you need to look where you're going more and have a plan. So I hear that. I think it's an interesting approach, and especially in a day and age where a lot of I see a lot of business consultants and advisors sort of focusing on like, here's a new strategy to get you out of your current problem, you know. So interesting to hear that perspective. Have you found that your clients tend to do a lot of them get that? They're responsive to that approach? It is a little bit of a different approach than some people tend to have.
Yeah, I mean, people come to me usually because they're looking for something different. Because even the name, the conscious consultant, which I claimed early on, I mean, I've been using that moniker now for probably 15 years. And I changed, I put it on my LinkedIn profile. I got the domain name. I've been working with it with a long time because it just felt more authentic for me. It's who I am. I'm not just your hardcore business person who just, you know, is all about the profit. I'm more about the personal side of things, the development, the awareness, the consciousness, the spiritual side of stuff, if you will. So mm-hmm. because I use that moniker, because it's in my branding, those are the kinds of people I'm going to attract, people who are interested in that. Many times I work with people who've been just pounding their head against the wall with like normal business advice and it nothing working. And mm-hmm. so they come to me almost as a last resort because mm-hmm. they've pounded their head against the wall so much that now they're open to hearing something different. Mm-hmm. So I love working with people who are like, don't see a difference between their personal, spiritual, and business life. Mm-hmm. Like it's all one thing, because that's the kind of approach I take, is a holistic approach, mm-hmm. because we're a whole person. We bring ourselves with us to every mm-hmm. endeavor that we're involved with. Mm-hmm. So when we work on ourselves, not only do our relationships improve, not only do our ventures improve, our business improves, the bottom line improves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, and I'm, yeah, absolutely. I'm hearing a lot about this lately in the context of COVID-19. You know, there are a lot of articles and discussions and talk about the importance of recognizing, for example, your employees as whole people, not sort of expecting them to be compartmentalized in a robotic fashion. There's talk of recognizing one's business and, you know, their own role in it. So I think it's an important and also interesting to note that your moniker, as you mentioned, can be a good, like a gatekeeper for those that say, don't believe that, they won't sort of waste your time and waste their time, right? So,
right.
Yeah, interesting to see that from that perspective.
Right, exactly. And it's who I am. And so I am very conscious of the fact that I don't have to work with everyone. Sure. I really don't. And I'm not for everyone. Mm-hmm. I'm for a certain mm-hmm. intersection that makes sense. That's my experience, as my life experience, as well as my business experience and all the things I've studied and gone through, where that all comes together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And speaking of coming together, and we'll come together for a quick commercial break. Decent segue there. But folks, you're listening to Employment Law Today. I'm your host, Eric Sauver. My guest tonight, Sam Leibowitz, the Conscious Consultant. Stick around on Talk Radio NYC, and we'll be right back.
Are you passionate about the conversation around racism? Hi, I'm Reverend Dr. TLC, host of the Dismantle Racism Show, which airs every Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc. Join me and my amazing guests as we discuss ways to uncover, dismantle, and eradicate racism. That's Thursdays at 11 o'clock a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a small business trying to navigate the COVID-19 related employment laws? Hello, I'm Eric Sauver, employment law business law attorney and host of the new radio show, Employment Law Today. On my show, we'll have guests to discuss the common employment law challenges business owners are facing during these trying times. Tune in on Tuesday evenings from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
Gateway to the Smokies. It airs on talkradio.nyc every Tuesday night from 6 p.m. to 7. Every episode is dedicated to memorable experiences in the Great Smoky Mountains National Park and surrounding areas. This show features experts and locals who will expound upon the richness of culture, history, and adventure that awaits you in the Smokies. Tune in every Tuesday from 6 p.m. to 7 on talkradio.nyc.
Do you love or are you intrigued about New York City and its neighborhoods? I'm Jeff Goodman, host of Rediscovering New York, a weekly show that showcases New York's history and its extraordinary neighborhoods. Every Tuesday live at 7 p.m., we focus on a particular neighborhood and explore its history, its vibe, its feel, and its energy. Tune in live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Welcome back to Employment Law Today. I'm your host, Eric Sauver. Here tonight with my guest, Sam Leibowitz, the Conscious Consultant. And we were talking about this issue tonight of basically bouncing back from setbacks. And I thought it was a good topic in light of all the setbacks that many of us have experienced in the last 16, 17 months, I'd say, since COVID really took off.
Yeah. And it's a big setback. And it's not going to be the only setback we have.
Right.
You know, life moves on. Who knows what's around the corner? And if it's not another pandemic, maybe it'll be some ecological crisis. Maybe it'll be some weather crisis. Maybe it'll be something else. But there's always something to deal with. Nothing ever goes 100% according to plan. And that's not necessarily a bad thing.
Right. Absolutely. And I think that's important to note, because I think a lot of people, when we got into this 2007, 8, 9, you know, the big economic, you know, recession, a lot of folks thought, well, okay, that's over, and now we're doing better and sort of smooth sailing-ish. I know there were still some economic challenges along the way, but then along comes the pandemic. And I think it's important to, yeah, I agree, to really, like, be centered and grounded and have resources available to learn from mistakes, to bounce back from setbacks. Yeah, absolutely.
But it's also about being flexible and adaptable. Hmm. You know, just with the radio station itself, you know, I've been running it for over 11 years, mm-hmm. but for 9.5 of those mm-hmm. years, we had an in-person model. We had a studio in the Upper West Side and then Midtown, and everybody came into the studio and did things in person because we wanted to get really good audio quality until the pandemic forced us to have to change. Right. Now, I could have resisted that change. I could have said, no, I don't want to do this. Da, da, da. But over the years, what I've learned is if something presents itself, just go with it. So I was like, okay. Mm-hmm. We can't do this in person. I got to figure out how to work the technology to do what we do, but do it virtually. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Thankfully, I was familiar with Zoom already. I'd already integrated Zoom to our production system in the studio. So then I just had to figure out how to work it from home. Mm-hmm. And literally over a very long weekend, I was able to go from like Friday afternoon doing the last show in studio, backing up the hard drive, looking around the office, taking a bunch of stuff, putting it in my backpack, coming home and setting up my computer at home over a weekend so that by Tuesday night, the first show of the week, we were ready to go and we didn't skip a beat. And I really feel like all the other adversities I'd been through in life had kind of informed me to learn not to resist what is.
Yes.
And so that helped me to just stay nimble and adjust and change with the environment. And I think that's a really important lesson that every business owner needs to hear and hear again.
Yes. Yep. Absolutely. And important for business owners and entrepreneurs, and important for people in their personal life, non-professional as well, because it's true, life will throw curveballs and obstacles our way. And know, right, we can't control those, we can't change those, but we can look at how we respond. And as you mentioned earlier, right, it's about getting centered first. Like a lot of people I know were very freaked out when the pandemic hit. I know it's funny, I remember my reaction as a self-employed attorney to the 2008-2009, you know, sort of the economic crash that was going on, and you know, the legal field was hit very, very hard. And you know, I was a lot younger. It's been 13 years, whatever, maybe more than that. In hindsight, I remember thinking, looking back years later and saying, you know, maybe I could have handled that a little bit differently, you know, a little bit less sort of being dragged, kicking and screaming into a different reality. And so I decided that if there were ever going to be something that's challenging, I'd have a different approach. And then here comes the pandemic. And I thought, I'm not going to react the same way I did to the Great Recession and going to be more fluid and flexible and trust that somehow it'll be different, but it'll be okay.
Yeah. And in some ways, you know, I've come to believe over the years that even the difficult stuff is actually here to serve us. And that if we take life from the approach of everything is here to serve us in some way, then when difficulty comes, we can say, okay, I don't know why this is happening. It's uncomfortable, but I'm sure this is serving me in some way. I just can't see it right now. So let me, you know, deal with it and from a point of view that it's serving me. So then I'm not so uptight and anxious and worried about it. And then what happens is we relax into it just a little bit more. And that relaxing into it just a little bit opens up these neural pathways that allows us to be more creative, that allows us to see other possibilities, that when we're stressed and we're clamped down and we're like, oh, I got to just push through this, we don't really have access to those neural pathways. And then we're not really being our most creative.
So it sounds like it's spiritual. It's also scientific. It's physiological. There's a whole supporting evidence behind the importance of accepting and flowing with life, with setbacks in business, with resources that are under disposal, and seeing these crises where there's opportunities, as I've heard.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's amazing. I mean, to me, there's no separation. Everything is spiritual. It's not just spiritual practice is something you do on the weekends or when you're in yoga class. No, it's your entire life is a spiritual experience. We're spiritual beings having a physical experience. There's much more to us than what meets the eye. And everything is saying that that's true. If you look at neurophysiology, you look at brain research, you look at quantum physics, you look at like the really leading edge of science, and it's saying some of the same things that mystics have said for thousands of years.
Right.
So look, you want to be a skeptic, you can be a skeptic, but look at what's going on around you. I mean, scientists by nature are skeptical. And if they're starting to say some of the same things, maybe we should pay attention. You know, I'm a big believer in like, don't believe a word I say, but just try it for yourself and see if it helps you. See if it works for you. Do things come better for you? And if it does, then what the hell the difference is, you know, whether it's something to believe in or not. Just use what serves you. And, you know, if you don't want the story around it, leave the story on the side, but use the practice.
I think that's so true. It talks about really talking about here, I hear the spirituality involved in life and not just separate. You know, it's funny because I think people often think of spirituality is something you do like on Saturday, Sunday morning at your place of worship or at a Dharma talk on a Tuesday night or in your yoga class, as you mentioned. But that's really my understanding of those spiritual practices and ideology to teach us how to interact in our life with ourselves and others, right? To connect better.
Right.
And not just to be sort of like rushing around like a maniac, going into yoga for an hour, being sort of chill and namaste, and then going back to a crazy rat race type of existence.
Exactly. It's like it's all about cultivating more agency over ourselves, over our actions, and more presence, so that when we show up in our life, we're showing up in that same way. It's like going to the gym, right? And practicing, right? You start lifting weights in the beginning, it's kind of hard and aren't that much. And then you do it consistently. And over time, it builds up and builds up and builds up until one day you need to carry something heavy. And all of a sudden it was easy to carry something heavy. Whereas 6 months ago, you would have strained your back doing it.
Right. Absolutely. And I think it's like the experiential component to believing in something and trying something new, being open-minded, I'm willing to take different actions, because if the same actions got us the same place, and that place is not something that we're happy with, then why would we keep doing the same thing, you know, over and over again?
Right. Exactly.
Outcome. You know, we have a couple minutes left here, so I want to give you, as I often do, I give it on my show, I give you the stage for to share about any upcoming events or shows or blogs, whatever you might have coming up, workshops. The floor is yours.
Well, thank you so much, Eric. I really appreciate it. I appreciate you having me on your show for a second time. Don't have any events per se coming up, but of course, every week, if you like the kind of stuff I say it every week on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern time to 1 p.m. This week, I have a very interesting guest who is a PR person, but who's like at the age of 17, she was like on tour with Kiss. You know, she's a real go-getter, a real kind of in-your-face kind of person. And next week, I have this wonderful woman by the name of Charmaine Hammond, who's all about causes and how raising money for causes. And we're going to be talking about a new film project she just is working on, and the importance of not being shy about raising money when you have a cause you're going to raise for. And if anybody would like to contact me and learn more about my services as the Conscious Consultant, oddly enough, the website is theconsciousconsultant.com. And of course, you can always find me at talkradio.nyc.
Right. Thank you, Sam, for that. All the different ways we can reach you, the aspects. Really great topic tonight. I hope people listening really heard something that they can use. And if you like the show, tune in to Sam's show, as he mentioned, on Thursdays, and tune in to Employment Law Today on Talk Radio NYC. That's Tuesday nights, 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You go to Facebook group for the station for the live show, and you can go to the website for the audio. But again, to keep the focus on you, Sam Leibowitz, Conscious Consultant, Talk Radio NYC, Executive Producer, thank you once again for joining us, and great to have you on a second time. Definitely fascinating, interesting conversation. Thank you.
Great. Thank you so much, Eric. Take care.
Oh, my pleasure. All right, I'll have a good night. Thanks again.
NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Did you know that nearly one in five adults in the U.S. battles mental illness? Hi, my name is Albert Dabba. I'm the host of the show Extra Inning. Extra Innings, I discuss the topics of wellness, mental health, and the experience of surviving multiple suicides within my family. Listen live every Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern to Extra Innings for discussions with sports figures, artists, mental health professionals, and many others. That's Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc. In a post-COVID world, you may have many unanswered questions regarding your health. Are you looking to live a healthier lifestyle? Do you have a desire to learn more about mental health and enhance your quality of life? Or do you just want to participate in self-understanding and awareness? I'm Frank R. Harrison, host of Frank About Health, and each Thursday, I will tackle these questions and work to enlighten you. Tune in every Thursday at 5 p.m. on talkradio.nyc, and I will be Frank About Health to advocate for all of us.
Do you love or are you intrigued about New York City and its neighborhoods? I'm Jeff Goodman, host of Rediscovering New York, a weekly show that showcases New York's history and its extraordinary neighborhoods. Every Tuesday live at 7 p.m., we focus on a particular neighborhood and explore its history, its vibe, its feel, and its energy. Tune in live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Are you passionate about the conversation around racism? Hi, I'm Reverend Dr. TLC, host of the Dismantle Racism Show, which airs every Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc. Join me and my amazing guests as we discuss ways to uncover, dismantle, and eradicate racism. That's Thursdays at 11 o'clock a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Have you ever thought of reinventing yourself? Are you looking to create a new life's journey? Hi, I'm Kevin Barbaro, host of Coffee Talk XL every Tuesday night, 5, 8 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc. Tune in live to hear me and my guests from a variety of different backgrounds. As a former college coach and a current full-time actor and owner of multiple companies, my show is as eclectic as my life. That's Coffee Talk XL every Tuesday night, 8 p.m. on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.